About a month ago on Mother's Day, I shared a message titled, The Mother Heart of God. That was somewhat risky because some might misunderstand what I was trying to communicate. I was not implying that God is our mother, Mother Earth, nothing like that. That would be totally unbiblical, heretical to call God your mother, your heavenly mother. But what I did want to communicate is that God has revealed himself in scriptures with some of the traits and characteristics of a mother. He's kind, he's compassionate, he's comforting, he tenderly nurtures us like a mother nurtures her child. I was not teaching about the motherhood of God, but the mother heart of God, that God has a mothering, loving heart. We surveyed several scriptures that attributed the motherly characteristics to God. Just for fun, I picked out my favorite of the ones we chose that week. This is one where God is speaking. This is Isaiah 66:12. For thus says the Lord, so God is speaking here, behold, you will be nursed, you will be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees as one whom his mother comforts. So I, God is speaking, will comfort you, and you will be comforted. So here God is comparing himself to a nurturing mother who cares for and comforts her children, her babies. So this shows us the tender side of God. We think of God as harsh and strong and powerful, but we need to understand he's loving and tender like a mother. If you'd like to learn more about the mother heart of God, you can go to the website. That was May 8th, or on YouTube. By the way, I used the word metaphor before. My wife corrected me. She said metaphor is not the right word. It's simile. When it says like a mother, like a father, that's a simile. So there you go. I learned something from my wife this week. So today's Father's Day. So we're going to transition from the mother heart of God to the father heart of God. That makes sense, a companion message for Father's Day. Now this concept is a little more familiar, isn't it? A little easier to understand. In the Bible we see God called our Heavenly Father many, many times. What does that mean, that God is our Heavenly Father? What does this concept of God communicate? And that's what we're going to seek to discover today. So dads, even though it's Father's Day, I'm not really talking about you as much as I am looking past you to God to discover how God is the perfect Father. We're imperfect fathers, aren't we? But God is the perfect Father. Maybe that'll inspire us to be better fathers when we see the fatherhood of God. In the Bible, God has revealed himself in many, many ways. As the creator of the universe, creator of the world, creator of mankind, as the giver and sustainer of life, as the King of kings and Lord of lords sitting on his throne, as the sovereign ruler of the universe, as the judge of all mankind. Many ways God is described. But all these concepts of God are distant. When you hear judge and king and creator, that's not very personal. It's impersonal. They emphasize God as powerful, but not really as God being personal. The concept of God as Father is actually kind of rare in the Old Testament. When it was used, it usually referred to God as the Creator, the Father of all creation. This is my Father's world. Or the God is the Father of Israel, Father of that nation, the originator. It's not used in the personal sense much in the Old Testament. But when Jesus came, everything changed. We weren't talking about God the judge, God the creator as much. Jesus called God his Father. It implies a personal relationship with this God that seems so distant and so powerful is now a personal God. Father was his favorite way of describing God. Jesus refers to God as his Father 189 times in the four Gospels. That is his main way of describing God. So he introduced a new way of looking at God. He says, Yes, he's your judge. Yes, he's a king, but he's also your father. A new way of relating to God as child and father. He taught his disciples to pray. We just read the Lord's Prayer. He said, when you pray, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He didn't say, when you pray, say, our heavenly judge, hallowed be your name. Or our exalted king. He could have. Jesus is that. All our all-powerful creator. Those are all fine prayers to pray. But he says, no, when you pray, pray our heavenly Father, implying a personal relationship. He always used the personal possessive pronouns. Possessive personal pronouns. What I mean by that, he refused to God as our Father. That's a pronoun, a possessive, ours. He says, your Father in heaven, your Father, my Father, yours, my, our. What is implied by these personal pronouns is that we are the children of God. He's my God. He's our God, our Father. We can have a personal relationship with God. Only God's children can refer to him as Father. Doesn't that make sense? Only if you're one of his children can you say Father. If you're not yet a child of God, then you can relate to him as a creator or as a judge or as a king, but you have no personal relationship with God until you come to the Lord Jesus. It's only that we can come to God through Jesus Christ. So he's not your father because you're not his child. You become a child of God, he becomes your father. So before we look at the father heart of God, we need to ask ourselves, and I don't know your hearts, so I have to bring this up every week. Am I born again into God's family? Have I become a child of God? Have I been adopted into God's family? Have I made God my father? It's your choice. Listen to John 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, that's Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So you can become a child of God. You can call God your father if you become a child of God, if you believe in him and receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Have you been born of God? There's a first birth, a blood birth, and there's a second birth, a spirit birth. Have you given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and made him your father? Can you say, our Father who art in heaven, my Father? I hope you can. I hope you will today. If you have never done that, I hope you say, Lord Jesus, I want to be part of this spiritual family. Not the church, the spiritual family of God, the universal family of God that addresses God as Father. So from this point forward, I'm going to assume that you're part of God's family. It may be wrong to assume that, but when I talk about Father, I'm talking about a personal relationship with God, that he's your heavenly Father. So let's learn about the Father heart of God. Unfortunately, because of the failures of our earthly fathers, many of us have a distorted father image. Maybe your father was uninvolved in your life, or he neglected you, or even abandoned you. You're fatherless. You know, the Bible says God is a father to the fatherless. That was a really important verse for me growing up in foster homes, to know that God is the father, my father, to the fatherless. Maybe your father was uninvolved, or worse yet, maybe he mistreated you or abused you physically or emotionally. It sometimes makes it difficult to say, well, God, you're my father, because we trip over that word, don't we? Well, that's all the more reason to see what God is like. God is the perfect father. He's the model father. We need to pattern our lives after our heavenly father, not our imperfect earthly father. Stop looking at your dad and judging God. Look to God. Do not let who your earthly father was distort who your heavenly father is. Amen? So let's see the pattern for fatherhood. I'm going to share four ways God is like a father. Now, I could share many, many ways more than this, but four is all I have time to on a Sunday morning. So I'm going to share four ways. They all begin with the letter A. You have an outline in your bulletin, so that makes it easy to follow. Number one, God demonstrates a father's affection. A father's affection. Affection is another word for love, and I needed an A word, so that one worked perfectly. Affection. God is loving and affectionate. You know, if you don't know Christ, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know God, then you think God is harsh as a judge. But God is affectionate towards his children. Those who have received him have a special love relationship with God. There's no greater love, is there, than parental love. Parents will do anything to protect and care for their children. You know, I never really knew love, sorry, hon, until I had a baby. I knew, you know, love as a marriage, but there's something deeper when you have that little baby that your job is to take care of, and he's part of you. And there's no greater love than parental love. But as amazing as it seems, now listen, God's love is more, is greater than our love. Our parental love. God loves us more than we even love our children. As much as you love your children, God loves you more than that. That's amazing. There's a verse we read a few weeks ago. It talks about how a parent might forsake their child, but God will never forsake you. Earthly parents fail, but God never fails. We are his beloved children. We are precious in his sight. Amen? Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount compares earthly fathers to heavenly fathers, and I find this passage a little humorous, actually. This is Matthew 7, verse 9. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Do dads do that? Hey, son, here, eat this. Big round rock. Parents don't do that, do they? No. Or if you ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? Can you even picture the sadistic dad who would say, here, son, eat this live snake. That's not what dads do. Dads give bread. Dads give fish. He says, now, if that's how a human dad does, how about a heavenly father? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your father, there it is, didn't say your judge, your creator, he says your father who is in heaven will give what is good to them who ask him. God loves you like a father. He will give you what you need. He will take care of you. Same Sermon on the Mount talks about not worrying about what we wear or what we eat and what's going to happen tomorrow. Your heavenly Father knows you need these things. He'll take care of you. Some view God as harsh and judgmental, and he will be to the unrepentant. He will be harsh, and he will be judgmental. He'll judge those who reject him. They'll stand condemned. So that is an accurate picture of God. But here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus portrays God as loving and generous towards his people because we're his children. He's a generous Father. Listen to Psalm 103:13, because it compares God to a father. It says, as a father, there's that simile again, as a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. In the same way, a father will be generous and compassionate and caring and protective for his child, so God will for you. And that's the message I want to communicate today. Those who make God their Father have no reason to fear. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We are beloved children of a heavenly Father. Listen to Romans 8:15. This affirms this. You have not received the spirit of slavery or fear, leading to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Isn't there a song like that? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You don't have to fear condemnation. You don't have to fear judgment. You don't have to fear the judge. You've got a God who loves you. because you're a child of His. It says Abba, Father, A-B-B-A, Abba. Abba means daddy, father, or papa, father. God is no longer acting as our judge to condemn us, but He's acting as our loving Heavenly Father to bless us. God no longer is mad at us like a judge might be, but He's madly in love with us like a grandfather might be or a father might be. Remember the old chorus in 1 John 3, verse 1? I know some of you are already singing it in your mind. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. You know, I'm going to take a chance to sing that. How about the guys follow me and the ladies echo? We'll do it twice through. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Ladies, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. What love that God would call us sons, His children. He would adopt us into His family. I think the NIV says, God has lavished His love upon us by calling us His children. He's adopted us. It's fantastic. Let's consider a second way that God is like a father. We've looked at one, a father's acceptance is number two. God demonstrates a father's acceptance. Small children often make big messes. Amen? You've had children, you've had grandchildren, you know that. There's dirty diapers, there's spilled milk, there's food all over the place. Do we reject a child due to his messes? No. We see through the mess and love the child anyway. We accept our children even though they get messy. Aren't you glad that your Heavenly Father loves you and accepts you even when you mess things up? We're all going to make mistakes. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're all going to fail. When an older child strays from the truth, do his parents hate him? Reject him? No, they grieve for him because they love him. Likewise, God loves you. He grieves over you when you stray. He accepts you as his child, but he is there with open arms when you fail. I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son. You remember that story. A rebellious son took his inheritance, he left home, and he went out and lived it up, had a party. The Bible talks about it being riotous living until all of his money was gone. And when the money ran out, his friends left him. He found himself alone in a far-off place, finally hit total bottom. The only thing he could find to do was to feed pigs for a job. And as he's feeding the pigs, he's thinking, I could eat some of that. I'm hungry. He finally remembered his father. He says, my father's servants, at least they eat well. Maybe I can go and humble myself before my father and he'll receive me back. That's what he did. He repented. Repented means to change your way, turn away around, change your mind about something. He returned to his father. And where do we find the father in this story? Is he cross-armed, scowling with his back towards his son? Is that where you find this father? The story is called the story of the prodigal son, but it should be the story of the waiting father. Listen to what it says in Luke 15:20. But while he was still a long way off, you know what that tells me? That dad was looking for that boy. Is that him? Is that him coming down the road? He was a long way off. His father saw him and felt hatred towards him. No, he's a father. Acceptance. He felt compassion for him. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. He didn't wait for the son to come. He met him halfway with open arms. Upon repentance, the son was accepted by his father back into the family. Have you wandered away from God? Have you wandered away from your heavenly Father? The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us goes astray. We all make messes of our life. The answer is repent, like this young man. Return to your heavenly Father, because he's waiting for you with open arms to receive you, to accept you. Back to earthly fathers, do your children know that you love them, that you accept them no matter when they mess up, that you have open arms to receive them? I hope your children know that their family is a safe place for them to be, that they'll be accepted. Okay, we've seen a father's affection, a father's acceptance. Number three, God demonstrates a father's attentiveness. There's an A word, isn't it? Attentiveness. Some of you are already thinking like Wheel of Fortune. You're thinking, what word's going to come up next? Fill in the blanks in your mind. Sadly, some human fathers have short attention spans. We're easily annoyed by children and grandchildren. We're too busy to stop and play, to watch, to listen. We often overlook their accomplishments, don't we? Because we're not very attentive as humans. Children want the parents to watch them. If you've got small children, you know that, or you remember that. Watch me as I ride my bike. Watch as I swing on the swing and jump on the monkey bars. Watch as I throw this ball and kick this ball and hit this ball and catch this ball. They want you to watch them and approve of them. Watch as I draw this picture or color this page. They're always looking for a parent's approval. Do we show them the attention they crave? According to Dr. James Dobson, do you remember him? He wrote a lot of books on the family. He did a lot of studies. Listen to what he says. He says, the average father spends 37 seconds a day with his child. 37 seconds. They pass, maybe give them a fist bump on the way out to work, maybe a hug as they go to sleep. 37 seconds a day? We're not doing so well. Aren't you glad that we have an attentive father? A God that's watching us all the time, is thinking about us all the time. What's that song? It says, eye is on the sparrow and I know he's watching me. Listen to Psalm 139, verse 17. It says, how precious also are your thoughts towards me, O God. How vast the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. God is always thinking about you. Now, I know that's hard for us to imagine because we're so little and so insignificant. And God is so great and so powerful. He's able to think of you and you and you and you and each one of us all the time. He's got that ability. He's all powerful and all knowing. Our Heavenly Father is always thinking about you. Nothing escapes His notice. He pays attention to every detail in your life. Nothing is too small for Him. Listen to Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? They're worthless little birds. And yet, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. For the very hairs on your head are all numbered. I don't know how God does that, how He knows every detail about our life. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. If God notices the sparrows when they fall, He notices you and every detail about you. So fathers, mothers, grandparents, let's make a bigger effort to be attentive to our children. They need it to know that we love them and watch over them. So God demonstrates a father's affection, a father's acceptance, a father's attentiveness. And finally, God demonstrates a father's authority. God has designed the father to be the head of the home, to lead his wife and children in the ways of the Lord. Part of that God-given authority is to teach, discipline, and correct our children as needed. Just as an earthly father has to discipline his children, so also our heavenly Father has to discipline us because we're his children, right? Now, this is a whole passage we could read, but I'm just going to read one verse. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For those whom the Lord loves, as a father loves his children, he disciplines, he scourges or corrects or spanks every son whom he receives." There's an authority between a father and a son. The passage goes on to explain the parallel between physical discipline of a child and the spiritual discipline that we receive from God our Father. You'll have to read that on your own. That's a whole 6 or 7 verses there. But read it and understand that the scripture is very clear that we are to correct and discipline our children. We have an authority, a God-given authority, to raise up our kids in the way they should go. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting harsh treatment or mistreatment, as some people go too far. There must be a balance between instruction and correction. Instruction and correction. The Bible, especially the book of Proverbs, clearly instructs us how to discipline our children. So if you have small children, read the book of Proverbs and understand what it means to raise them up in the nurture and discipline of the Lord. Now, we could look at several other aspects of God. I didn't talk about God's protection or God's guidance. I didn't talk about a lot of things, but God is a father in at least these 4 ways. We've seen him as the perfect parent, as the model father, and one that we should model our parenting after. So fathers, as we wrap up, and mothers too, the message is for you too, let's pattern our parenting after God. Let me mention these 4 things one last time. Let's be parents who show affection. Amen? Lots of hugs, lots of kisses, lots of fist bumps, lots of praise. Express your love to them verbally. They need to hear, "I love you. You're my precious. You're my tender one. You're my favorite." They need to hear that. Number 2, let's be parents who show acceptance. Don't say, "Well, I'll accept you when you measure up." Remember when Jesus was baptized, God the Father said to his son, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." You know, Jesus hadn't done any miracles yet when Jesus said that, or when God said that. He hadn't changed water to wine. He hadn't raised anybody from the dead. And God says to his son, "I'm well pleased with you before you perform, before you do these miracles." Our children need our approval. They need our affirmation. They need our acceptance. They need our blessing. Number 3, let's be parents who give attention. Listen to your children. Watch your children. They crave your attention. And that's easy to give. We just got to turn off the tube or put down the phone and look in their eyes and listen. And give them the attention they need. And finally, let's be parents who demonstrate loving authority. I added that word, loving authority, not just strong authority, but loving authority. Be the godly leaders that our families need you to be. Amen? Happy Father's Day, guys. Let's pray. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have revealed yourself as a father, not just a judge. And Father, thank you that we can come into that kind of relationship where we can say, "Abba, Father, my Lord, my Father." And I pray that would be true of each person in this room. Help us to be the kind of parents we need to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.